Welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 188, spotlight on Marvel Comics, Thor from 2014, number 6. I'm Chris Mosby. Well, I was off at Planet Comic Con this year. Murray and Caleb threw together an episode on their own, reading this issue featuring the new female Thor. And hope you enjoy.
Alrighty. Okay. So Chris is away. So while the cat's away, the mouse are gonna play, or the mice, whatever we are. Anyway, we're trying a little recording, and I'm sure it'll make its way to Chris someday somehow. Anyway, Caleb and I are looking at Thor number 6. Yeah.
This is the new Thor. This is the latest version. This would be the She-Thor, or whatever the internets have dubbed her. I have no idea.
I like She-Thor. She-Thor.
They've given her some pretty horrible nicknames out there on the internets, but this is during the last major event at Marvel, the male Thor lost the right to carry the hammer, so he dropped it on the moon, and some mysterious female figure came and picked it up. And over the last 5 issues of this series, she has earned the name of Thor, while the Chris Hemsworth guy is now calling himself Odin's son. So
that sucks. He actually loses his name. Wow.
He loses his name. And as you will see in this issue, that is a sticking point with at least one of the supporting characters. But one of the ongoing plot threads throughout the series is we don't know who this woman is, who now is Thor. She actually wears a mask, a helmet, so we can't see her face. Though she could, be anyone for all we know, because when they smack that hammer down on the ground like Dr. Blake used to do, he gets extra hair and he gets muscles and basically changes his overall appearance. On this cover to number 6, we get what would you call that? A cutout, I guess, of the female Thor's silhouette.
Yeah, a silhouette of her, for sure. What do they call it? Yeah, it's a silhouette.
Right, and in the silhouette, we've got all of the potential candidates for who the She-Thor could be, including a lot of the female Marvel superheroes, as well as Jane Foster. Loki, if you notice, is the only male character on there.
I love that he's got this whoomy look.
That's right. What? Not me.
I know.
That is actually, I had noticed that.
It's awesome. A great cover.
The only female character we're 100% certain it is not is Thor's mom, who, because in one of the previous issues, the female Thor plants the big, wet, tonguey kiss on Odin's son. So we're unless they're sticking with strict Norse mythology where sons and mothers bet each other frequently, I don't think they're going to go that route. I don't think Jason Aaron would take us there. Of course, yeah, we see. Ew.
Yeah.
We see the recently acquired from Todd McFarlane character Angela is on the cover, who's now been revealed to be the sister of Thor, or excuse me, Odin's son and Loki. There's Valkyrie and Sif and Black Widow. And, oh my God, they're all there. So, God, I know all these characters. That's just sad. Let's move on. I shouldn't. In any case, so the cover says, "Who is Thor?" And this is brought to us by Jason Aaron is writing it. Russell Dodderman, who's really damn good, is the artist.
He's really good. I liked his stuff.
Matthew Wilson isn't it great? He actually was off the last couple of issues, but he's back. I'll tell you, real, just as an aside, between this and Loki, these are the only times I've ever read any of this corner of the Marvel Universe. I didn't even read the Simonson Thor stuff with Frog Thor and Bearded Thor and all that. It just it never got to me. Never was my thing.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I've never read. I haven't read much of the Thor stuff either. Although as a kid, I loved reading about all the Norse mythology stuff. Like that was really cool. But I never ever got into. I never got into Thor.
Yeah, I don't know why either. I agree with you. Yeah, there was a lot of that mythology stuff, which I always thought was really neat. And it probably goes hand in hand with this whole comic geek thing that we bought into. Because a lot of that is obviously and Morrison built on a lot of that mythology stuff when he was doing Justice League. So we're not the only ones who feel that way, I'm sure. Anyhow, the title of the story is Who Holds the Hammer? That's a loaded question. So we jump in and we have someone is narrating. Says my father was a fairly wealthy man. He owned his own island in the Aegean Sea where we'd spend our family holidays. My father and mother, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, cousins galore. They all died screaming on that island. Ah, that's just sad.
Yeah.
We do have an aerial view of an island, sort of out of Shakespeare time. Kind of, what was that? What was the Shakespeare one on the island? Oh shoot, I'm blanking now.
The Tempest.
The Tempest. Thank you.
Yeah.
So then we pull inside this house that's there, and all but me. One getting away yells one of the pirates. Ah, it's just a boy, and there's nowhere for him to run. The island is ours, says another pirate. The pirates came during the night, the narration continues. What would prove to be the longest night of my life. I was 9 years old, and we see a young boy running away from a house, crying, spattered in blood. Uh-huh. Wow, that's a great panel.
It is. Great. Who's the colorist? The colorist does great work in this issue, too. Matthew Wilson's the colorist.
Thank you. Do you sound like you know that name? What is
where? No. I just figured he was the inker, but Russell Dodderman does pencils and inks, and Matthew Wilson does the colors. Gotcha.
So they're cutting out the inker, huh?
It looks
like more tracer. what was the Jason Lee's character's name in Chasing Amy? Never mind. So, here's the tracer. So,
there you go.
Focus has changed onto shifted to a cave somewhat out of Castaway, and we continue the narration. I've never prayed before. I had never even seen it done, but I prayed that night. I prayed for death and power and revenge. I prayed until my bones ached and my eyes bled. Jesus. I prayed the whole night through, and sometime in the early morning, and we see the kid is praying. Like there's lots of moisture coming out of his eyes, and we hear that one of the pirates off panel. Damn, cave is like a labyrinth. Yeah, labyrinth. I got it. Look at that. And then we have the narration. My prayer was answered, and here come the pirates, and the narration. But it wasn't the voice of God I heard ringing in my ears, and his eyes are glowing. What's that on top of his head? Looks almost like. And it was a roar. A roar I eventually realized was coming from my own lips. And we see the in shadow and silhouette again, a minotaur ripping apart the pirates. And they're Herker, Arger, Gurgle, Fuggle. And we are now, looks like present. I don't know. Present day, and we see a clearly a rich guy with a pair of Gucci glasses on. And we have the Norse lettering, which this is really cool. This is a nice touch. The dialogue for all the Norse characters has this slightly, I don't know what you would call that lettering, but it's stylized.
Yeah. They've done it. I think they've done it before with the Asgardian characters, but it's cool. It's a good way of setting them apart.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I mean, a lot of times they do the characters where the word balloons are a different color or something like that to set them for. Like Deadpool is always in yellow. For
right, right, right.
I don't know why, but anyhow, and we have a Norse character off panel saying, "I expect you've been roaring ever since, haven't you, Mr. Ager? From time to time. But you didn't kill the pirates?" "No," says Mr. Ager. And then we get to the next fairly disturbing panel.
Yeah.
And we see all the decapitated pirates. Their heads are mounted on, well, looks like life-giving posts. So they're basically, they're just heads, crying heads who can talk too.
Anyway. Yeah, this is before they started putting heads in jars. These are heads on jars. They're a precursor.
Oh, God. Okay, so Futurama is now. Anyhow, so Mr. Eggers, yeah, I decided I liked it better alive, more or less. And one of the pirates is saying, "Please kill me." Well, and the Norse character. What was that?
Oh, yeah, no. I don't blame him. Blah.
Yeah. And the Norse character saying, "It must be ludicrously expensive to keep them this way. I applaud your commitment to sadism, sir." And the room is ringed by full-size posters, I guess, but magazine covers of the Mr. Ager. Oops, I switched pages by mistake. Come on, go back. There we go. And we are on Roxxon Island. And, yeah, this guy's clearly very rich. He's on the cover of Forbes, New York Bulletin, Fortune Magazine, Time Magazine. He's made the cut.
Totally.
Hold on. There we go. Sorry, my meter has decided to skip ahead on me here. All right. So they're still continuing. They're standing in a ring of heads. And the Norse character, "But I wonder if you're truly prepared for the consequences of your little bargain in that cave. That was a very old and very angry god to whom you sold your soul. My father owned an island. I own a world. That's the only consequence I'm interested in. But I don't believe one world will ever be enough for you, will it, Dario Ager, Roxxon? It is enough for you, Malekith." Now, Malekith, I guess, is an older Thor villain from way back when, the Dark Elves, in any case.
I will take your word for it. Is it enough for you?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I think I want to say that Chris Claremont used him in that New Mutants X-Men special that was drawn by Arthur Adams, but I could be wrong. Anyway, war is a hungry beast, and I only wish to keep it well fed. And they continue their debate, and they basically figure out their trade. Malekith wants the skull of the Frost Giant King that Mr. Ager has in his possession. And Mr. Ager wants the realm of Svartalfheim. Yeah, the place where Malekith is from.
Yeah,
it's Elfland. A world of swamp. Huh?
Elfland. The land where elves live. Yes.
Land of Dark Elves. Mm-hmm. Special place. Yes. Swamps and big seas and teeming with bog bears, muck sharps, and quicksand squids. I'm interested in your wildlife, only what it becomes once it is decomposing for a few million years. Tell me, Mr. King Malekith, do elves ever drill for oil? And we pull back and we see a floating city above an oil field, a bunch of old oil derricks, like in Southern California or Texas.
Southern California has floating cities? Too. You're kidding me.
What?
Southern California has floating cities?
Yes, we have floating, yeah. I know. It's an amazing awesome place. It's a land of opportunity.
Cool.
It's a beauteous place.
Cool.
We are now on Asgardia, which is the floating city that Asgard used to be. It's still floating above Oklahoma. And we see Thor is standing on part of the Rainbow Bridge. "You must have seen something," he asks. "You are Heimdall?
I think it's Heimdall.
Okay. All-seeing guardian of the Bifrost. Those eyes of yours, you can see anything that moves, anywhere upon the world tree. I bet if I asked you what the sea elves of Alfheim were having for dinner this evening, you could answer this me without pause. Starfish souffle, a bit undercooked for my taste. Sorry. So how is it you haven't yet seen the face of she who holds Mjolnir? Mjolnir?
Mjolnir, I think. Mjolnir?
Put the J after an M. Jesus.
I know, it's tricky. It's tricky.
As I have respected and reminded Godfather himself in recent bit, it's tricky. It's those Asgardians. I'm not, nor have I ever been omniscient. I cannot see all things at once. This, my sworn duty is to spy only which threatens this realm. This new goddess of thunder, however, she may be, whoever she may be, does not strike these eyes as a threat. I would not have given her my name if I thought otherwise, but I still must know who she is and why she is worthy when I am not, asks Chris Hemsworth. You see, people bitch about how they changed Superman and stuff and the look of Superman and Wonder Woman, but they've clearly changed the look of Thor to be more in line with the movie version. I mean, he looks like Chris Hemsworth now.
Totally.
No one says word one about that. Maybe if the Superman movie had been better, no one would be bitching about that.
They'll get it right next time, maybe. Maybe.
That's right. We'll know in about a year here.
That's right.
A little over a year. Thor is lamenting, she is someone I already know, of that I'm certain, someone who knows me well. As someone else who knows you well, my prince, says Heimdall, might I suggest with all due respect that you focus less on her worthiness and more on your own? Again, referring to how he lost the hammer.
Right, right.
There it is. There is the piercing gaze I know so well. The way I just stared into you, just stared into me, just now at her. Look now at her. That is all I ask. Look and tell me what you see. You wish to know what I see? I see Malekith forging dark packs with that endanger every realm. I see trolls still hiding on Midgard, the same trolls who reduced the town of Broxton to smoke and rubble. I see a serpent loose in heaven, a brother in turmoil, a sister in peril, a strife between a mother and father that may consume a thaw. I see bonfires burning as rises a queen of fire. I see a king who waits in hell to be reborn. I see wars, Odin's son, more wars than we can possibly endure. And I'm going to assume that refers to the secret wars that are coming up in the big, huge Marvel crossover.
Uh-huh.
Again, another cool man.
Yeah.
And Odin's son says, I forget which has made it Uru, my friend, my arm or your head. By the way, Odin's son lost his arm to he was bitten off by a sea serpent an issue or three ago. And he now has a metal arm.
Huh.
Cut your way, noble Heimdall. Ready the Rainbow Bridge. And I guess he now controls where the Rainbow Bridge is out, now retracted. And off goes Odin's son to kick some troll butt. And Midgard, that's Earth's, you non-comic reading people, a den of rock trolls somewhere deep beneath Texas.
That sounds about right.
And one is getting its feet. One is getting its face smashed in by a fist. Brunhild, it must be Brunhild. Referring to Valkyrie, by the way. The new Thor has blonde hair and fights like a Valkyrie. So who else could she be? But the hammer could alter her appearance as it once did mine, change her hair color, or it must be Sif, after all. No one else could wield Mjolnir with such power, or could it be my sister Angela, or perhaps even, damn it all to hell, who is she? I must know. No idea what you're talking about. Winds the poor troll who's getting his head bashed in while Thor's having this external, internal dialogue.
Yeah, he's all angsty.
He is angsty. He wields an axe now, by the way, instead of his hammer. the moon later. That's cool. So the hammer lay here on this very spot. So whoever lifted it was someone who could walk freely upon the moon. Thus it must have been a god. Nay, you fool, he said to himself. This is the blue area of the moon, where the watcher once lived. Through some scientific wizardry, there's air here and there, as there's always been. It could have been anyone, even a human. Anyone who had access to God. If the watcher was not dead, he would tell me. That watcher is dead, by the way. For those who were not following along. Why can't I not? And then he's cursing Mick Fury, who whispered something in his ear, which we have never heard what it was. He went Nick Fury during the, what was that crossover called with all the secrets revealed or whatever?
It was called, Whodunit? It was called, I don't know. It was called,
Marvel Secrets.
Yeah, reveal all the secrets.
Murray?
Yes, hello?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it must have been it.
I don't remember.
So, anyhow, it was forgettable. Other than the Watcher dying.
Yeah.
And Nick Fury died as well. But he whispered something to Odin's son, and that's what made him feel unworthy, and he dropped the hammer. Then up walks one of his warriors, three. I can come back later, Odin's son, if thou art too busy yelling to thyself on the moon. Unless you are here to tell me the name of the woman beneath Thor's helmet, I care not what you have to say, Senator Volstagg. Alas, I cannot aid you in your quest, Odin's son. I know not who she is, but I am afraid. I'm afraid I know who next you need to see, and it might be best if you were to hurry. And we are now in the Asgardian Hall of Medicine. We see Odin's son again. So this is an issue focused clearly on Odin's son as opposed to female Thor. Anyhow, yeah. She's up. When did it happen, healer? She collapsed earlier today in the midst of a congressional session. I thought her condition had been much improved of late. I am afraid not, my prince. I fear it has only worsened in recent weeks, ever since she came to Asgardia to join the Congress of Worlds, which was my doing, says Thor, or Odin's son. What more can be done for her? And basically, the Asgardian doctor is bitching because this human wants to use human medicine as opposed to magic. And he says, I'll speak with her. And we see a woman with a scarf on her head, clearly having gone through chemo or something. Nurse, tell me the truth. Is there really a shirtless thunder god standing in front of me, or have I died and gone to Valhalla? Jane Foster, this is no time for jests, says Odin's. So this is Princess Amidala is lying in the bed with a scarf on her head. And on the contrary, as a doctor, I always prescribe a daily dose of jests for all my patients. Yes, but this time you are the patient, an obstinate one at that, from what I'm told. It's the cancer. It's being a bit obstinate, she says. But the chemo will work. We just have to give it more time. I'm afraid the healers do not share your optimism. If you would only allow them to know, the healers are gods. They underestimate the stubbornness of humans when it comes to dying. And besides, I survived dating you, didn't I? I survived trolls, supervillains, civil wars, your brother, your dad. But after all that, you think I'm going to let a little lump in my breast be the thing that takes me down? Sometimes a whisper can fell even a god, says Odin's son. Be not prideful, Jane Foster, not at a time like this. I beg you, let the healers do all they can to make you well. We've done this dance before, she says, and I still haven't changed my mind. Magic always comes with a price, doesn't it? Or have you always had a metal arm, and I never noticed? He says, the arm is the least of what I have lost. I will not lose you as well. No, you won't, she says. Pretty swank surroundings here. Please tell me you're not really calling yourself Odin's son. You're so much more than just your father's child. I hope you know that. Once you are well, you may call me whatever you like. I'm going to remember you said that, Lord Thunder Britches.
That's wonderful. That would be
really beautiful.
Uh huh. Uh huh. And that would be a great new comic, Lord Thunder Britches.
It's the what if version. The what the version. So it's a great page layout. We have them sort of standing on the page. Yeah. And she's got her chemo levitating behind her. So she's not above using a little magic or having a little magic to assist her. She's very weak, walking away. And Odinson sits down, looks at his list, and crosses Jane off the list. Suspects. Yeah, the dying human cannot possibly be her. So he circles the name Rod Solomon. And we're now on a SHIELD helicarrier. And we have Agent Coulson trying to assist Odin's son here. He says, I'm pretty sure there are no goats allowed in here. Could you at least tell it to stop growling at me like that? Tooth Gnasher, do not eat Agent Coulson unless he refuses to be of assistance. Yeah, about that, says Coulson. We have no idea who she is. All we know is that all we have on the new Thor are these few images taken from various security cameras and satellites. So far, it's not enough to identify her from our facial database. Our analysts have some suspects, of course, but nothing conclusive. We were actually kind of hoping you could tell us who she was. So basically, no one knows who she is. And Thor does not take kindly to that news and puts his axe right in the computer. That's very helpful. Though if you need some time to think about it, that's cool too, says Coulson. Where is Agent Solomon? Agent Solomon. Rosalind Solomon. There we go. Agent E-23, Environmental Investigation Team, Security Level 5. I have no idea who this character is. Roz had a bit of a rough go during the fight with the trolls in Broxton. She's been on leave for a few weeks. Wait a minute. You don't think that she's the... Where is Agent Solomon right now? And they give her a call on their phone. And then to it looks like one of those cool flying shield cars.
Mm-hmm.
Agent Solomon, Silk Troll, come in.
Please.
And the car is actually hovering over its doors are open, empty, and it's hovering over a Roxxon facility. Probably that one that we saw earlier, because we now have Malekith and Mr. Agar are toasting their deal. Roxxon will receive the mineral rights to all realms you conquer from now until the end of time, and I will receive the skull of the King of Giants without the bother of having to murder your entire company. Make it so. Let the empires of Roxxon and Svartalfheim be as one. I'll have my legal department draw up the papers, and I'll have my goblin mages brew a potion of blood binding. Oh, gosh. Just so we're clear, if you attempt to double-cross me in any way, I will have your entire race wiped from existence. And if I become unsatisfied with our arrangement at any point, says the Dark Elf, I will personally feed your giblets to my dogs. Pleasure doing business with you, King Malekith. And the pleasure is all mine, Mr. Minotaur, or Sir Minotaur. And they click their glasses together, and there's a voice-off panel. Mr. Agar, sir, this is the surveillance team. I'm sorry to interrupt your meeting, but it appears we have an intruder. Mm-hmm. And we are now on the roof of the Roxxon building. Motion sensor picking up something along the roof of Tower 5, Penthouse Kill Team Delta is responding. The Penthouse Kill Team Delta. So the Penthouse has its own kill team. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, what are they seeing? Nothing. We can't even tell how many intruders there are. We're having a bit of a hard time getting a lock on the signal. There appears to be some sort of electrical interference. Must be that freak thunderstorm that just sprang up out of nowhere. But we're working. Wait. Did you say thunderstorm? Target sighted. Open fire, and they start shooting. And actually, it's an odd panel. It took me a second. Lightning coming down, and they're facing us. They're firing towards us, the Roxxon kill team.
Yeah.
and they are shooting at She-Thor, and she's just standing there taking the bullets like in Superman Returns, and she's thinking to herself, tickles a little, not very Asgardian thought balloons. That's one thing that if you read the previous issues, you'll see that she speaks Asgardian style, but she thinks like a human.
Interesting. Okay, that narrows the field of mystery down a little bit.
But that's, you know, again, yeah, we get to see that obviously, but the characters don't. Odin's son does. And yeah, she's standing there looking all svelte and sexy in her modified Thor outfit with the, of course, the red cape. And the helmet, like he used to wear when Simonson was drawing it, he drew him with a helmet like this.
Yeah, totally.
It's more feminine in nature. Yeah, again, I didn't read those, but of course I know the visuals. So we all do, I think, because I did read Avengers at that time. And we now shift our focus back to Asgardia. What in the name of all that is holy have you done? And we are now in the royal hall of Odin. It says, my duty as all father of Asgard, you would do well to observe and learn, woman. And stomps his wife. This is mad.
We got some gender politics going on here.
We do. Looks like someone got their ass kicked just a moment prior to this.
Yeah.
Now, this is madness, even for you, husband. Tell me this is not what it appears to be. Tell me that the hushed whispers of your guards are untrue. Tell me that you did not put your murderous, deranged brother in control of the most dangerous weapon known to the gods. Kull, that would be Odin's brother, served my will of late. I dare say he has shown a more competent sense of fealty than you have, Freyja. Freyja. Perhaps you could stand to learn a lesson or two from him. So there was a time when Odin was gone. They thought he was dead. And she was the all-mother of Asgard. She served as the queen or leader of Asgardia for a while. So before Odin came back from the dead, as they do in comic books.
Yeah.
And she's... gives him a smackaroo upside the face. He says, you should not have done that. You do not get to say that to me, not after all that you've just done. I will see that hammer return to Asgard no matter the cost. Be careful what you wish for, you one-eyed fool, or you may come to know that hammer in ways you never imagined. So basically, just a little backstory here, Odin is not happy with the current state of Thor affair. First, he thinks that this young lady stole the hammer and stole the name. And as with most things with Odin, these gods are very petty. They don't actually have – their concerns tend to be very personal. And he takes it as a worthy of death to have stolen that name and hammer. So we're back on the roof of the Roxxon floating city. And Thor, for Dario Agar, I told you I would be keeping my eye on you. Please tell me that you – please tell me that is not the stench of Malekith, the accursed, that I smell. Whatever dark conspiracy the two of you hope to hatch this day, the goddess of thunder swears to you it shall not come to Kathoom.
Uh-huh.
Take a drink.
There's a giant kaboom.
And it comes up through the floor, the ceiling, or the roof. And we have...
to be continued.
Destroyer. He continued, and we have that. Yeah. So, and she's down, and what is that called? The destroyer? Oh, shoot, I should know this. From Thor the movie. Stupid me. Anyhow. She's down for the count. We get a quick letters page, which is always fun, from Jason Aaron and company. He does good letters pages. He does very good letters pages, actually. And it's very, as with the new Batgirl stuff, it is a very female-centric audience that we get exposed to, as well as an older audience and more open-minded. In any case, that is the new Thor. That's how it's written. You didn't get a lot of exposure to the new Thor, but I think the tone is out there for this book.
Yeah. Well, we got to see we got to see, we got to see Thor, Odin's son's point of view, and we got to get his take on the mystery, and that's kind of cool. Like, it kind of, we get to see that he's doing a little bit of detectiving.
He's dating Batman. Not really. He's never good at it. Not very subtle. In the previous issue, she actually took on Absorbing Man and Titania. And she took down Absorbing Man, and Titania let her take her down. Just that, a little, a one-time...
a gimme?
Chick bonding moment. Said, okay, you can take me down. That's cool. That was just this one time. And she takes Titania... And Titania, the original Secret Wars down. And what else? That's been the tone of the book, though. It's got a serious side, but it's not taking itself overly serious. Just like with the Loki book, which I think you read, right, Murray?
I read the first couple of issues. I'm way, way, way behind. But I liked it. I like it. Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. I like this book. I liked it. Like, I have no clue who Lady Thor could be, but that's fine. It's a fun little story regardless. Regardless. Whether you know all the ins and outs, it's kind of, everyone knows Thor, so seeing how he's reacting and watching him try to work his way through the puzzle is kind of cool.
I'm on the same page with you. I only know what I either have gotten from the movies or what I was able to gather from when I was reading Avengers for a while there, back in the day when Gruenwald and company were doing Avengers.
Right.
And again, like you, what I know from my slight exposure to mythology over the years and so on. But it's a pretty straightforward mythology, at least. As far as Stan Lee and Kirby created, it's just, there's good guys, there's bad guys, they're petty people, and that's all you really need to know, I think.
Totally. Yeah,
I appreciate you.
I enjoyed it. I would read more of this. I would read more, and it's kind of cool that I don't know a lot about that, because it forces you to get to know Thor as she is on the page, right? Whereas if you have a suspicion that she's, I don't know, whoever, if you suspect she's one character or the other, you're viewing her adventures through that sort of filter. Whereas this way, I have no clue who she is. So, I'm just getting to know her as Thor.
Right. She's her own character. She's not, there's no preconception that goes along. I mean, if you thought, oh, it's Black Widow, well, there's certain history to Black Widow, or it is Jane Foster. There's certain known quantity there, et cetera. So I absolutely, and it's so early in the series. It's only six issues in, sort of like with the new Batgirl stuff or Gotham Academy or even the new Loki stuff. It's early enough where either it's really easy to catch up, or it's really easy, to back issue it, or it's really, really easy to kind of get caught up within the issue. And that's what something that DC needs to hopefully do when they reboot in a couple months here, which Marvel does really well, is the caption page or the update page, previously.
Yep, this book gave you pretty much everything you needed to know for this issue.
Yeah, and we didn't. And that was the other thing, is within the issue, it's written. There's lots of forward momentum, but there's also enough within the issue itself where it doesn't feel ham-handed. Well, here's the person's name. It doesn't feel like, oh, it is you, Superman. Yeah. I mean, Clark Kent. I mean, Kal-El. So, anyway, I'm liking this book. I'm glad I broke down and started reading it. I was reluctant, again, because I'm not a Thor person. And I'm glad I set that aside. The same way I did with Batgirl. I went, you know what? I'm not normally a Batgirl reader. I'll read it, and thank goodness I am.
Yeah, yeah. Alrighty, good choice. Good choice. And that about wraps it up. This is the point where Chris would do a blurbity blurb about Facebook and website and Twitter and something, and we're going to let him do all that in post. Alrighty. So we'll catch you later sometime, listeners. Bye-bye.
Yeah.